Well, good morning, church. Good to see each and every one out this morning. And so pastor's out ill today. And, we saw him Thursday night, and it was encouraging just to see him. But his voice is still recovering. And, when you get a cold, sometimes you start feeling better, but the voice, you lose your voice. And so that's the case with pastor. So here I am. This morning I thought we'd look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And really the title of the message today is a question. And the question to each of us is, do you remember? Do you remember? And, by way of introduction, just before we look at the passage, it's interesting how the words of a person whose death is imminent carry, a lot of importance. If somebody comes up to you and says, I've got a week to live, your ears, your antennas go up. And they say, especially when they say, I got something that I want to say to you that you need to know before I pass. And, it's important for the person whose death is imminent to convey the words. And it's important for those listening to pay attention to the words. And a lot of times the circumstances of life can magnify the importance of both the message of the person and the need to pay attention, the circumstances of life. And we see that with our Lord in John 14:29. He says, "Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming." The Lord's time on earth was drawing to a close, and he had something critical to communicate about what lay ahead for the disciples. And you actually have to go back three verses to see what it was that he wanted to communicate as he knew his time was drawing close. And what it was in John 14:26, he says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I said to you. How important was that, right? How important was that? This information was critical for their future ministry, to know that the Holy Spirit would come and bring to remembrance all that the Lord had taught them. And they were very special words, very, very special words in another way. Because the words were prophetic. They were prophetic words. They were looking into the future. And when the Holy Spirit did come, the disciples would say, the Lord told me the Holy Spirit would come, and it would help them to believe. And so they were very prophetic words. Well, when we come to 2 Peter chapter 1, it's very much a similar situation in many ways. In many ways it's different, but many ways the same. And 2 Peter was written shortly before his death, and Peter knew his death was imminent. And it was written to Christians facing intense persecution, and many even being martyred for the cause of Christ. So that was the situation. That was the church that Peter was writing to. And Peter wanted to make sure that he communicated truths that were critically important for them to remember. So as we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter says, because he's really writing from the heart, and these words are very important to him and to the church. So as we go to 2 Peter, we're going to start actually in the middle of the chapter. It's kind of a little bit different, but we're going to start to show you kind of Peter's heart, and then we're going to look at each side of the middle of the chapter, where he talks about what he wants them to remember. 2 Peter 1:12, it says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." You see, what he was going to tell them wasn't something new to them. It's something they already knew. It was something they already practiced even. And yet, he wanted to remind them. He wanted to say, you got to remember these things. When I'm gone, you need to remember these things. And he continues in verses 13 and 14. He says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So, you know, Peter knew that his death was approaching, he saw it. His purpose was to stir up the Christians. You know, it was time to stir them up, to reminder, just to remind them of some things. And he continues, "And I will also be diligent that any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." So it wasn't just that he wanted to remind them, he wanted them to remember them when he was gone. It was critical for them to remember them. So you're probably asking, what are the things that Peter, when his death is imminent, what are the things that he wanted the church and he wants you to remember? Well, there's four of them, and we're going to look at each. The first one is, remember the riches of your salvation. The second one is, remember the responsibilities of your salvation. The third is, remember the revelations of your salvation. And the fourth is, remember the resources of your salvation. Those were the four things of a man who knew his life was coming to an end. And we're going to look at each of those this morning, starting in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So Peter writes, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So he's writing to believers. These believers happen to be in what is today modern-day Turkey. They were believers that were being persecuted. And this is what he says to them. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." You know, you see in these verses that we are assured that God has made full provision for us to have a life of holiness, a life of godliness. And just as his power saves us in the first place, so his power energizes us to live holy lives from then on through. You know that he enables that through the high priestly work of Christ. He enables that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he enables it by giving us the Word of God to read and to follow. And fact is, you know, God has granted, in addition to that, God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. You know, even as we sung today, he's a promise keeper. And, you know, it's estimated that there are 30,000 promises in the Bible. And I'm thinking, you know, I could probably live on five, you know, but 30,000 promises in the Bible. And John Bunyan once said, "The pathway of life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God that it is impossible to take one step without treading upon one of them." You know, his promises like the freedom from sin's dominion, his promises like the grace that is sufficient, the power to obey his commands, the victory over the devil, or the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, the list goes on. The promises of God, not just the promise maker, but the promise keeper. And these promises enable us to escape the world's corruption. It allows us to escape the treachery, the strife. It allows us to have godly lives and holy lives. And, you know, I think a hymnist who wrote Standing on the Promises, you may know that hymn. This is kind of an old hymn, but goes like this, and I won't sing it, but goes like this. "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. You know, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. You know, I was thinking, you know, if I was, you know, be a martyr to, you know, perhaps getting ready to be crucified or burned at a stake, the one thing that'd be going through my mind is the promises of God, I think. and just like Stephen, you know, Stephen realized one of the promises when he writes, one promise like that realized by Stephen was, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So that's really the question today. You know, do we remember the riches of our salvation? Do we remember the riches of our salvation? Well, secondly, and this one's a little tougher for us, but it's the responsibilities of our salvation, the responsibilities. Because Peter goes on to say, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." You know, that's quite a list. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. But he goes on to say, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the truth, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you." You know, Voltaire said, "With great power comes great responsibility." Great power, and you could say even great promise comes great responsibility. And I know some of you are Spider-Man fans, and you're saying, no, that was Spider-Man's uncle who said that to Spider-Man. But no, I think it was Voltaire, and it was, and Peter. And, you know, one man summed up these virtues very well, you know, these qualities that we're to have, these responsibilities that we're to have. He said, "Do this, add to your faith the courage of David, and to the courage of David, the knowledge of Solomon, and to the knowledge of Solomon, the perseverance of Job, and to the perseverance of Job, the godliness of Daniel, and to the godliness of Daniel, the brotherly kindness of Jonathan, and to the brotherly kindness of Jonathan, the love of John." You know, those are great men that had great qualities, and wouldn't it be something if you could take all those qualities and roll them up, and that was you, you know? And there's a promise with these. It says, if these qualities are yours, you'll be fruitful rather than useless. I mean, who wants to be useless in this world? For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You know, God guards the Christian who moves forward for him and in him. And maybe it should be in him and for him, because you need to be in him in order to be for him. You know, the peril really lies in spiritual idleness and blindness. And he goes on to say, though, a Christian who pursues the listed virtues will not only enjoy assurance in the present life, but will have a full, rich reward in the future life. You know, Peter's not referring to the fact of a believer's entry into the kingdom. You know, we know that's by grace through faith. What he's referring to is the manner in which we enter the kingdom, you know, with virtue, virtuous, holy, godly. So remember the responsibilities of your salvation. And I did think it's striking, you know, even even when we're given responsibilities by God, even when we're given responsibilities, usually we think of a responsibility as, oh, you know, that's too much to ask or something. But even when we're given responsibilities by God, they come with a promise from God. And what a blessing that is. Well, thirdly, we see that we need to remember the revelations of your salvation. The revelations of your salvation. 2 Peter 1:16 to 18, it says, you know, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. You know, Peter says, I remember the revelation of God in my life. You know, how could I forget it? How could I forget it? I was up there with James and John and Christ's face, it says in Matthew, you know, fuller text, it says Christ's face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light, and a cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the disciples fell on their face, you know, on the ground and were terrified. And Jesus said, get up and do not be afraid. And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. I mean, how could you forget that? And that's what we need to do. We need to remember the revelations of our salvation, you know, the stories of God's goodness, of God's grace, and in this case, God's glory. The glory of God was revealed, and Peter will never forget it. And you remember that Christ told the three of them, you know, we're not going to talk about this when we come down from the mountain. Do you remember that? We're not going to talk about this until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Well, the Son of Man has been raised from the dead, and Peter's talking about it. And what a remembrance. You know, have you seen Christ revealed in your life? How has he moved in your life? Where have you seen his glory, his grace, his goodness? And, you know, I really like the T-shirts that we have out here, the stories, you know, because, you know, stories help us to learn. And I remember when I was growing up, one story I'll convey just to make the point here of stories. You know, I told you the story of I grew up in a fishing town, and I know, Pete, you like the fishing story, so. But I grew up in a fishing town, and I told you about the eel. You know, we thought we were going to catch a pike, and we ended up catching an eel, and that was kind of a story that always reminded me when you're fishing for men, you probably never know what you're going to catch. But this thing was, you know, slimy, and it looked like sin, and that's what you're going to catch, you know, sinners. And, you know, there was a woman in the town, but God didn't leave it there. You know, he said, Tim, you're a slow learner. You know, I'm not going to leave it there. You probably don't get it yet. So anyways, I grew up, and there was a woman in the town that, you know, I don't want to go through her history out of respect for her, but she, you know, was not the first person you would think would be saved in the town. In fact, she might have been the last person you would think would be saved in the town. And, but one night, her husband was dying, and so she called the local pastor, actually. And you're going, well, why, you know, why wouldn't she have called 911? Well, in this small town, you have to understand that the ambulance service was actually run by the caretaker of the funeral home. And not only that, but if that wasn't bad enough, the ambulance was actually the hearse. And so, you know, a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But I remember my brother once, my dad went to the hospital in the hearse once. And Yeah, I never forget. My brother said on the way home, the guy driving the hearse said, "You want to see what this baby can do?" And I often thought he probably should have said that on the way to the hospital, not the way home from the hospital. But anyways, it has nothing to do with the story, really, other than why she didn't call 911. But anyway, she calls this pastor, and the pastor, you know, perhaps he knew her too well. He said, you know, it was late at night, and he said, you know, I can probably come over tomorrow. So that wasn't the answer she wanted to hear. So she ended up calling the pastor in the town over, 7 miles away. Pastor I know well because he was my father-in-law. In fact, he's the one that told me the story years later, you know, after growing up thinking this woman, you know, may never be saved, you know, 30 years later. He says, hey, we were visiting. He says, hey, I got a call from a lady in the Cape Vincent. He said, you might know her. And he told me the name. And I said, oh, I know her, you know. And he said, well, you know, I got a call late at night. And I got in the car and drove over. And I thought, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, that's pretty brave of you, you know. But he said, you know, he met with her and her husband, her son. They got around a table, and all three of them made a profession of faith. Yeah. So, you know, you just never know. You just never know. But that's, you know, a story of God's grace, you know. Yeah. God's grace. We sang it today. Grace, grace, God's grace. And you know, he said, going back to the fishing story for Pete, but he said, you know, it was probably the most moving moment in his ministry. And I'm thinking, well, you're, you know, by God's grace, you're reeling in the biggest fish of the town, you know. And so, yeah, just a story. But, you know, we need to remember the stories of our salvation, the revelations of our salvation, where God does show his goodness, his kindness, his love, his glory, just as Peter proclaimed his story of God's glory. Well, lastly, we want to remember the resources of our salvation. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21, it says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. For know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. No, he says, remember the Scriptures and take heed to them, for they are a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, and although we live in a dark place, it says the day dawn is coming when the day star, which is Christ, when Christ returns, the second coming of Christ. You know, in Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The bright morning star. You know, and he goes on to say, and remember this, the source of the Scriptures and any of the prophecies in Scripture are not made by man. You know, they're not made by man. Just like the prophecy of the Holy Spirit coming, you know, only Christ could have known that. And they're not made by man. In fact, prophecies, the fulfillment of prophecies, just prove who God is. But they're spoken by God, and you can count on them. You can count on them. So we need to remember the resources of our salvation and use them. When the kids were growing up, we used to always go over to Stu Leonard's to get our turkey at Stu's. And I had the two girls with me. And, you know, that Christmas, they had a competition of who could decorate the room the best. And they had a deal that they could only use their resources because they were afraid one would have more money than the other, and so, you know, that would be unfair, so they could only use their resources. So anyways, as we're going in Stu's, as you know, sometimes to the left they have the decorations out, so my daughter said to me, she said, my younger daughter said, you know, Dad, can I have $5 to buy decorations for my room? And of course I said, yeah, all right, you know, $5. And so she turns to her sister, and she says to her sister, she goes, now that's using your resources. So then my other daughter started using her resources, and I was out $10. But, you know, God has a lot more resources than I have, you know? And not only that, God has a lot more love than I have. And you combine those two things, you know, we need to be using our resources. Our resources, God's Word, the Holy Spirit, you know, the church, we have each other, you know. We need to use our resources. So remember the riches of our salvation. Remember the responsibilities of our salvation. Remember the revelations of our salvation. And remember the resource of our salvation. You know, Peter did go on to be martyred. And as you know, tradition says that Peter was asked to be martyred upside down. But tradition also says that before Peter was martyred, he was required to watch his wife be martyred. That's what tradition says. And it's interesting that he said three words to his wife to encourage her. Again, tradition, but three wives to his word to encourage her as she went through this ordeal. And the three words weren't, I love you, interestingly enough. The three words were, remember the Lord. So you think about that, you know, this is tradition. So it probably wasn't something that was said, you know, in private. It was probably said very publicly. Otherwise, who would know? Right, the three words, remember the Lord. So you wonder, you know, if Peter, as she was being dragged off or as she was being crucified or however she was martyred, you know, Peter saying, remember the Lord. You know, it was probably very public. And somebody went home and said, you know, Peter was out there yelling to his wife, remember the Lord. And you can think, you know, what a great testimony that must have been, you know, just to hear that. And, you know, so maybe you won't remember all four of these remembrances that I covered today, but, you know, at the very least, remember the Lord. So let's pray. Well, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for Peter's testimony and what he has written down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit that you will bring your word to remembrance as we go through life, Lord. We thank you that we can live lives of holiness and godliness through the reading and following of your word. And so we just thank you for the time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.